I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 331 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture podcast where a single die roll decides the movies we see. This episode drops on June 20th, 2019. My name is Dan Gorman. Women can't live with them. They will not go out with me.
My name is Casey Lyons and... oh, fuck. What the fuck? I'm not even supposed to be here. Hope I don't jack off. What's this, a clown pewter? Fuck that.
My name's Greg LeGros and blah, blah, I'm Birdie's dumb, annoying coworker, Dirk. I wear too much cologne. I pronounce it ick specially, and I usually talk over you, but I just realized I'm the stupid asshole. Now I'm going to go fuck myself.
We got so much to talk about this week. We have two movies to discuss in Film Roulette. We will roll for an album for next week as well. Punishment album. We'll talk about movies. It's what we do. We will talk about new movies, trailers, things that we've been watching. Before any of all that, we will tell you to find us online at SYNWPC on Facebook and on Twitter. And you can email us at info@modernsuperior.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's
do that.
Going on?
Gosh. Shit.
Fellows. Yeah.
Whoa.
What is up?
I'll tell you what's up.
What's up?
Toronto, nay Canada,
nay
the world, has caught raptor fever.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
What an exciting... Now, I don't give a fuck about sports.
I feel like you caught some sort of purple fever years ago. There was a little...
How did you know about that?
I feel like you went through a little, like maybe around the Carter time or something. I feel like you kind of... You started getting roped in. I almost roped you in with Jordan, but then he retired.
Yeah.
And then,
just a spite.
Just, I know, what a fucking dick. Yeah.
It was hard not to get...
Hitler mustached ass. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was inescapable and hard not to get wrapped up in.
Yeah, yeah.
With what
wrapped
was going down.
Up?
Wrapped up.
Yeah. That was something, though. That wasn't just like we shouldn't have, like, that's a great team that got put together, but it was on the biggest gamble you could imagine in, like, renting a player. And then all the changes he made through the year, letting people go, that it seemed insane. Firing coach of the year. And then to have such a great season, and then every single playoff series we had was fucking total excitement.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
historic like things going on every time.
It felt very, it all felt very cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I mean, a lot of it is because, you know, I'm from Toronto, and as much as I don't love living in city or whatever, you know, I've lived here for 20 some odd years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fun to walk down the street and see everybody happy.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. But totally. Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I love that guy. Yeah. Like, he is the best brand of weird.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I can get behind this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's I love
and
his...
apparently he plays basketball. Yeah.
he's super dry and frank, and he's really not into the media thing. Like, one of the games afterwards, like, I don't remember who we beat, and there was, like, obviously a big pressure moment, and we won the game, and they hit the, you know, they get right, you know, right in their face at, on the court before they go in the, and they're like, Kawhi, what's the attitude of the team right now going forward? This is a big win for you guys. This, you know, this, you know, the series unfolding before us. What's the mentality of the team going forward? How do you prepare for this? And he's like, well, I literally just finished the game and I'm not in the dressing room right now, so I don't know.
That guy's awesome.
The best.
I fucking love that guy.
Yeah. So awesome.
That's so, man. I mean, I didn't go to the parade. Mm-hmm. Literally everybody in my office was like, "We're going to the parade."
Yeah.
Come to the parade.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, "No."
Yeah, everyone I got to work, everybody went, but I was like, "Oh, I got to do a bunch of stuff."
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like it was pretty amazing.
I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I'm like, I have a lot of shit to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's,
I mean,
nuts how many fucking people went, and that is awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
millions.
Crazy.
I was happy that I didn't have to go anywhere that night or that day. Like, I didn't have to use the TTC at all.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like it would have been.
You know what? I totally benefited from it because I left a little late for work in the morning.
Yeah.
But the gardener, wide open.
Nice.
Same thing on the way home.
Yeah.
Like, this is, there's like
you
no
must
one here.
You must have gone early because the gardener was closed for a while.
Oh, I start work at like 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was shortly after 7 that they closed the town.
But usually I hit like a garbage time then. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That must be some peak gardener mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I was doing was, because I don't have TV and I wasn't streaming the game or anything, but I had like, because on Android you can pin the score to your like homepage.
Yeah.
It's like a little bubble, like a messenger chat bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So like it would just automatically update when the score is updated. But then also I have the auditory element of I live in a condo that faces another condo.
Yeah.
And they like echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So like I got really good at telling what types of yells meant what, because like people would yell and I'd be like, that's a point, and then it would update, and then people would yell and I'd be like, that's a, they stopped a goal. They stopped somebody dunking. Yeah. And so, but even just watching the numbers,
I think I would like you to commentate a live basketball game.
That's a touchdown.
That's a point. That's a blocked a, not a point.
That's
yeah.
a stop. That's a stop the other
yeah.
Fellas from.
Yeah. Is that a hat trick?
They get 2 points for that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Someone was feeling generous.
That whole game, no one got 1 point. It was only 2 or 3. I don't get it.
They were doing really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was even just from the, like, watching the scores go up and like, the gaps in the scores going up and stuff, I was like, this must be the most exciting game ever. I was
yeah.
like, this second is the longest second I've ever seen in a game happen. And then I read about what happened at the end of the game, what made that go so long.
Yeah.
My house has never been here for a big win like that or anything, so she doesn't really know the customs or anything, and I fall asleep very early.
Yeah.
So the when we finally won the last game and everything, I was asleep, only to be worriedly woken up by Mayos going, I think something's happening. Everybody's honking. I think there's something wrong. Like, what? Oh, no, we won basketball. She was terrified.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Well, one of the earlier games, I had fallen asleep early, and then we won, and everybody was screaming in the condo, and I was asleep, and I woke up, and I was like, somebody fell off a balcony or something. Like, and then I was like, oh, no, it's just we won.
Yeah. Yeah, but everyone went bananas when we
yeah.
got into the finals, and then, yeah.
Wow, what a thing.
What a
it was amazing
thing.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
amazing. And so great to see, like, watch the team, and, like, we are really good.
Yeah.
That is a very good basketball team. And we've had other teams that were, like, they did all right, but
yeah.
you always knew, like,
nah, yeah, they're not
they
going to make
choke.
It.
This
yeah.
isn't it. Yeah.
yeah.
I know that this isn't very good.
Yeah.
You know, everyone likes Mo Pete and JYD, but we knew that team was terrible. No offense to them. Thanks for hanging out.
and God
but
bless
yeah,
you both.
It's just, like, to see, like, a real... like a true contender team
yeah.
just rolling through. It was really amazing. What a great thing that just happened.
Totally.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I got some news here.
What do you got?
Brand new news as of today. Bill and Ted Face the Music
mm-hmm.
is happening, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the star of Barry,
yeah.
as people will remember, NoHo Hank,
oh,
Anthony
shit.
Kerrigan, will play the villain.
Oh, yes. Amazing.
That's yeah. very exciting.
I yeah. hope NoHo Hank is the villain.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I I hope I feel like I'm very excited about for this to happen.
So terrified, excited too, because I'm like, please be good. I love the Bill and Ted movies so much.
They've
aged super well. Bogus Journey, everyone who saw it knew that it was super underrated and really bizarre and fun and creative and stands up too. Like, it's such a great little pocket thing and so nice. So yeah, if they can make another good one, holy fuck.
Totally. And I feel like with Keanu right now tearing up, like just being a good dude in the world,
just being the internet's boyfriend.
I feel like the timing is right.
Yeah.
And Alex Winter has done like a lot of awesome documentaries, and he's just kind of out there being cool too. I just feel like, I want this.
And they're buddies. Who doesn't like
that? Yeah, exactly. I like that they genuinely enjoy each other too. Yeah. Like that adds to it too. Mm-hmm. And hey, maybe this will lead to Freaked 2.
Right. Yes, please.
Yeah. Bill and Ted, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I think so.
No question.
Yeah. And then
William Sadler's still on board.
Yeah. In the world of remakes, we have some new news.
Yeah.
As of earlier this week, Black Christmas.
Again.
Coming again from Blumhouse, this time the director of a film called Always Shine, which I haven't seen, but I heard was really good, and also did an episode of this Hulu thing called Into the Dark, which is like a series of movies it's like an anthology movie show on Hulu, I believe. The director is Sophia Takal. I'm like, as always, remake anything you want.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like, go for it. I'll see it.
I didn't bother seeing that last remake. No, 2006,
it was really bad.
I like the idea of giving this concept to a female director.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the last Black Christmas, but that movie had from 2006, I believe, but that movie has like this weird resurgence of people that actually really, really like it. It has this like cult following now. I don't really get it because I tried to watch it recently and I didn't dislike it as much as when I first saw it, but I don't like it. But yeah, I'm kind of like, go for it. I'll see it. Give it to somebody exciting and I'll watch it.
And I feel like Jason Blum has generated enough goodwill with, producing other things that I'm on board.
Yeah. Mm. Go for it.
Yeah.
It's hard when it's like Black Christmas is a great, great classic.
Yeah.
We're talking about Black Christmas?
Yeah. It's like a bit of a gimmick thing though, right? I mean, its whole thing is there's a big...
Yeah.
So that's hard to remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's not hard, but a stupid remake. Anyway, I mean, good luck.
I feel like you remake it for a new generation kind
sure.
of thing.
Yeah,
I
just hope they don't know what it is or don't know where the internet is or don't know how to read.
Or just don't care. Or there's a whole generation of people who aren't going to seek out.
Yeah.
They're just going to say, oh, Black Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And also is it going to be a remake? Is it going to be one of those things where they just take the kind of idea of setting a horror movie in a sorority house at Christmas and then do whatever else they want? Is it going to be like a modern thing, or are they doing like a throwback because of the phone stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, no idea what this is going to,
I feel like there's going to be some text bubbles on screen.
Yeah. So, I want to know more. But I also am like, make whatever you want.
Well, whatever. Yeah, I'm not done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what you like.
I don't have any other news.
You have my plus.
Was there news that you guys had off the top of your head?
No, I don't think so. Okay. But I feel like I have a boatload of things to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
I got a thing or two.
Fuck the news. Yeah. real quick, before we get into viewed things, I did go to Canada's Wonderland.
Oh, nice.
Aww.
And rode the new roller coaster.
Sweet.
The Yukon Striker.
The dive coaster.
Yeah.
Gotta love those
shoot.
Dive
That's
coasters.
That's the one that goes like,
yeah. Yeah. It's the tallest, fastest, longest in the world. The drop is straight down. It is 90 degrees. Yeah.
And then
it goes
underground.
Below the ground into like an underground
That's
thing.
How they got the tallest, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and then we went a couple feet underground.
Yeah. And they hang you over the edge.
Yeah.
And leave you there for like 3 seconds and
so
then drop you.
That's cool.
It's fucked. Yeah. And the seating is theater style.
Yeah.
So it's instead of being in a long row, like a long straight, like a caterpillar, right?
Yeah.
It's like three, there's like three huge couches.
Yeah.
Right? Whoa. So, not their couches. I just mean the shape, right? So, they're like about eight people along in three, in rows of three, and each row back is higher up than the one in front. So,
I'll
be in the back and it won't be as scary. You're like way up higher and it's super fucked up.
This is, I think this is a CGI
that
thing.
Looks
but,
fucking
but yeah, that's
hell.
It.
Can
yeah.
See again? Yeah, it's like.
That looks cool as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it has a loop, which a lot of these dive coasters don't have. It's wild. It was afterwards it was like, my legs are still up there somewhere. I feel really funky right now. Super intense. It wasn't busy at all the day we went, so that was great.
Nice, yeah.
And then, you know, did some other stuff and went on go back to the first big dive coaster we got, the Behemoth.
Yeah.
Did that again.
I still haven't been since that.
Yeah. So I'll tell you
Behemoth
what, Behemoth is better than Yukon Striker.
Nice.
Yukon Striker is great. Ride on it for sure. It's a lot of fun. It's super cool. But then Behemoth is nuts. Yeah. It's just that thing, that diamond that just pushes down on your legs and there's nothing on your shoulders. Yeah. You're like,
no.
This can't be right.
No,
it's good though. It's a seatbelt and a thing,
and a seatbelt.
You're tight in there.
Yeah, but I mean, you
you're
go
good.
Over so many. It's all so much G-force thing. Like there's like six times on that ride where you feel like it is trying to throw you into the lake.
That's the thing is, I can do a roller coaster. Mm. I'm not good with heights, but I can straight up love a roller coaster. Yeah. But if my whole top part is just flip flopping to and fro,
and your feet aren't on touching nothing, you're like in this like. Tall, thin chair. It's and there's nothing beside you. It's just open over here.
It's great.
No. Oh,
so
it's
good.
Terrible.
So
it's wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's.
I got to go on that.
Yeah, you do. It's amazing.
I will fucking curse whoever I go on there with.
They made one at Cedar Point like a couple years back, and for some reason it gets rated a little bit lower because it's not like it super intense, but it's like the things that you're sitting in are kind of like off to the side of the car. So there's like two people on this side and two people on that side. So your feet are dangling and it comes down like around your shoulders. But it's called Gatekeeper. But it basically makes you feel like you're kind of flying, like sitting and flying.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's incredibly smooth. So when it goes over things, it's like not super fast. You're just kind of like...
I kind of like that.
Nice. I love that ride.
Yeah.
Roller coasters
that? Six
rule.
Flags?
That's at Cedar Point.
Cedar Point.
Yeah. Mm. But I haven't been on... I don't know if I've been on Behemoth. I've been on rides with the similar design. And I love that shit.
Behemoth was our first big dive coaster. Then we got Leviathan, which I haven't been on yet.
Oh, I think I've been on Behemoth, but not Leviathan. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that Leviathan was just like very much like Behemoth in its style, but just like not quite as thrilling.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yukon Striker, good time. Have a go do that. That's bananas. And the beginning is, it's really nuts. That drop is absolutely insane. Insane.
Wow. I mean,
yeah.
Really cool.
I feel like being at the back on the end would just be real, real scary.
Yeah, because you're up a little higher than everyone else, and you can totally just see, like, I'm just hanging out.
But it's also, like, you're really hanging off the edge of this thing.
Yes.
From that picture. That
it's really, and they just hang you over this thing. And it's, that 3 seconds feels like really long.
Yeah. I might poop now.
Yeah.
Just thinking of it.
And I couldn't scream on the way down. It's one of those things where you just go, hurry!
I got that from the drop zone.
It's
thing.
Very much like drop zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Only then it goes underground and flies around the park for a while.
Ooh, they changed all the names at Canada's Wonderland because it's not Paramount anymore.
Yeah.
So drop zone is like drop tower stunt thing.
Right. Yeah. And the Italian job or
it's
whatever.
Like stunt coaster.
No, it's called like backlot stunt.
Yeah.
Something or other. Sounds like a porno.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all their off. Like there was a time.
It's called butt stuff car.
Yeah. They had a Tomb Raider ride and they changed it to like Time Rider.
Weird.
Time Raider. Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of things that we watched,
yeah,
really quickly,
even though we weren't,
well, we were before.
Oh, yeah.
This is a callback.
In other shows, yeah.
This is a callback to the last show.
Yeah,
when we talked about things.
I really quickly, because I don't have a ton to say about it, except for that this is a great movie that you should see. I watched a movie called Avengement, starring Scott Adkins.
Right.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, I meant to watch that.
Yeah,
I love Scott Adkins.
He is a treasure, and he should be a huge, huge, huge action movie star.
Yes.
I mean, he's in a lot. He was
he's in low budget dog shit movies.
But he's also in a lot of that stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His skill set is not shown off in the Hollywood films he's in.
No, no. And in other movies that we have talked about in the past, like Ninja 2, mm-hmm. which is really great,
yeah.
he's been as a performer dramatically, just like, yeah, he gets the job done, but he's here to kick and punch.
Yeah.
But in Avengement, which is by this director, Jesse V. Johnson, who they've done a bunch of stuff together. This is the first I've seen of their pairing up. But mm-hmm. in Avengement, Scott Adkins is fucking phenomenal.
Nice.
It's an incredible performance. It has incredible fights. The gist of the movie is this guy gets out of jail and comes back to like these kind of British gangstery kind of dudes. One of them is his brother, who kind of like set him on the course that ended him up in jail. So he's come back to kind of like be like, you made me this way, now I'm like this fucking hardened dude. Mm-hmm. And so he has to, there's like flashbacks where he has to be like a nice dude, and then there's now where he's just like got a grill in and he's a fucking nightmare, and he sells like the both so well. Yeah, this movie's really great. The fights in it are fucking brutal. And he's phenomenal in it. And yeah, it's really, really good. It's from this year. You can rent it online and stuff. Yeah. Avengement. It's really good.
Totally going to watch that this week. That's
if you like action movies, but you also like that kind of just like, it's mostly hand to hand fist stuff.
So good. Yeah.
Punchy wunches, kicky wickies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm,
Avengement.
Very cool.
You'll dig it.
Yeah.
What else from you guys?
You got Casey.
I saw a couple things, yo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. What?
My wife and I got out to the movie theater a record 2 times since last. The first movie we went and saw, the second one I'll talk about later.
Okay.
First one we went and saw Rocket Man.
Nice. I heard good things.
I keep forgetting, when people say Rocket Man, I keep on forgetting that it's an Elton John movie. I'm like, did it even remake the Rocketeer or something? Anyway, I keep forgetting that it's out there.
Or that Disney Rocket Man movie with Harlan Williams.
Right.
Where he farts in space.
What? In space? Oh.
The parenthetical title to the Elton John movie, Space Farts.
Yeah, weird. How's that? How's Rocket Man?
You ever see that Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, sure. Didn't like it.
Yeah, well. this movie... this movie suggests that some people are rock and roll guys, and they like drugs, and sometimes they're gay. Yeah. The end.
Okay.
Like, it's good. Yeah. I mean, it's entertaining.
I didn't really like Bohemian Rhapsody, but at least it had the...
Bohemian Rhapsody is very entertaining.
It had the live performance thing that they had really crushed. Like, that was really good.
They didn't even really... Well, the thing is, the performances, the musical performances are woven into the actual story. So it's like, you know what a jukebox musical is?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a jukebox musical.
I had read that some of that was, like, really well done. Like, some of the staging of that, like, was
I think really well done is an overstatement.
Okay.
Some of that was fine.
Okay.
There's a couple of really great performances. You know who's fucking phenomenal in it? Tate Donovan.
Nah, yeah.
He plays the guy who owns the what's that the club in LA that Elton John first plays, and it's like
I don't know,
unqualified success. Anyway, I can't remember, but Tate Donovan is fucking awesome as this like dumb hippie guy. And Taron Egerton is fantastic. But it's just like, yeah, I know that some performers
Troubadour
like, loved, Troubadour love drugs and drinking and have temper tantrums sometimes.
Mm. I hear that Elton John said that he felt like he wasn't happy with it because it was too tame.
It possibly was too tame. Because I could definitely see that. Like, they didn't shy away from any of the drinking or drugs or whatever, but it was just, it was so generic. It was just like, yeah, I mean, this is what rock and roll guys do. And we've seen it before. It didn't offer anything that Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, most of these movies, they just can't do it. Like, at least with Bohemian Rhapsody, I assumed it would be tame because Queen was really like, no, 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 no. Well, let's dial all that down and have a nice time. Whereas,
have a nice time.
Yeah, where Elton was more like, no, 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 tell the disgusting story.
Well, Elton John was a producer on the movie, so yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I read something that he was not happy or maybe.
Or thought they could have went further or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or could have delved.
There's a lot. I don't know. I don't know what else they could have done. Like, what? Well, I mean, there's a couple of tame. There's a sex scene in it that's long, and I don't understand what the purpose. I don't understand the purpose of a sex scene that's long. And but then there's another scene where because like apparently he was just super into like these big crazy orgies and stuff like that. And there's a scene where they sort of gloss over that, or they just sort of suggest it. And it's like I don't really need to know much more than that. I don't know. Like, I guess I could see it as being tame. It was just kind of boring.
Yeah, but these movies, it's so hard to make a good one because it just, you can't. It's not going to capture the energy right. It's going to feel all commercial and wrong for what the music at its peak, you know, well, momentum and.
I was worried that this was going to feel like a Julie Taymor thing. And it comes this close, or like, you know, God forbid, a Baz Luhrmann thing. But it errs on the side of better taste than that.
Yeah.
Jamie Bell's really good as Bernie Taupin.
I didn't realize he was in it.
Yeah. But I read somewhere that they were thinking about having, because Elton John and Queen shared a manager, so they were thinking about having
That would have been terrible.
just like in a restaurant scene, sitting at another table and just kind of waving to them. And I'm like,
hello!
Remember me?
With his Oscar.
Movie. Yeah. I'm the Queen guy! But wow, like, and they decide, they're like, man, we think that might take away from the focus of our movie.
Yeah, yeah,
and they're
yeah.
Like, do you? Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's one of those things where if it's right in front of you,
yeah, I'll give it a whirl.
Because there's some entertaining parts, and Taron Egerton is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, that's cool. I didn't mind
the last movie that they did together, Eddie the Eagle.
I loved that movie.
Was fucking great.
I was like, this is. I thought it was very entertaining and thought it was a very solid, like, one of those, here's this guy's life and the things that happened or whatever, yeah. So I felt like maybe this would be good, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You heard it here.
You heard
Rocket
it.
Rocket Man, if it's in front of you, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it when it comes, like, yeah, VOD or whatever.
Yeah.
Greg?
What?
From Rocket Man to you.
Yeah, guess I went to the theater too.
Woo!
Ooh.
Yeah, what's up, motherfucker? I went out.
Yeah.
I went to the theater and saw, with my wife, Men in Black International.
Oh!
We wanted like a popcorn-y good time at the movies.
Why not?
And also fit into the time frame of things we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that worked out.
Also, it has Kumail as an adorable little guy.
Yeah. That's right.
How was that?
The Men in Black franchise is full of not very good movies.
It's the law of diminishing returns.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Like, the first one gets by on, like, a whole lot of charm and good faith in our stars. And
maybe some
and you
gimmick.
Got Donner, right?
Yeah. So there's a bit of gimmick around, like...
Is
and
it
then
Donner?
No, not
no,
Donner.
No.
It's
Sonnenfeld.
Sonnenberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's got a quirkiness that's...
Like, little aliens.
It, yeah,
yeah. We've never seen them like this.
It's actively... trying to be a little like mainstream peculiar throughout the movie.
Yeah.
So there's always a little bit of business going on.
Yeah.
And then the second one was just like, we're tired. And then the third one is like, we are fucking super tired.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Brolin's here, so a little better?
And,
agreed.
And, well, yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
But that movie managed to waste Jermaine Clement.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
I don't know. So, not a lot of expectation, but I sure like Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth.
Cast looked good. They're both a goddamn delight.
Yeah. So, and
you got Emma Thompson as well.
Yeah.
That's great. She's great.
Absolutely. And Liam Neeson's in there, and Camille. You've got, and watching it, I was like, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson are like legit movie stars.
Yeah.
They have they got the moxie. You know, the charisma on camera and just like, and they have good chemistry with each other and it really shines and it's like, and they're great in this movie that's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not very good. Yeah. It's, the story is like, and you could see whether there's a twist. I can't even call it a twist because it's so blatantly obvious the entire time what's coming. It's kind of dumb. But I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going to watch it again. Yeah. But watching, but the thing, when it's on Netflix or something, check it out. Throw it on someday. It's not offensive.
Yeah.
And they're so good, the two of them. It's like legit movie stars.
Yeah.
And I want this. And I was watching it. I was watching Chris Hemsworth. And I'm like, why don't they make cop movies no more? I want to see him like a cop movie.
Yeah. I'd like to see him in a good old fashioned 80s, like 48 Hours or something like
that. Totally.
You know what? Like, why don't they do those movies anymore?
I don't know. And like, he's so like, they got like, what a turn with him, how funny he is, because he's super funny.
Yeah.
And I was watching him do his thing and I'm like, oh man, I hope they never do it. But I mean, if they're seriously thinking about this recasting Indiana Jones, Chris Pratt is the wrong guy to be looking at.
Oh, hell yeah.
Holy shit.
Hemsworth's the guy.
That's absolutely a terrible idea, Chris Pratt.
Oh,
that's a sinking ship. I hope not.
Chris Pratt?
Yeah, it seems like his public opinion just seems very bad. I think he's got too much Christian shit he's waving around at everybody.
Yeah, he's weirdly Christian these days.
Yeah, his personal life just keeps creeping out there, and we're all like, keep that to yourself, because we like the thing on screen.
Yeah, although to be fair, he did marry a Schwarzenegger.
He did, so that's a plus in my book. But anyway, I like Chris Pratt. Don't get me wrong; I think he's wildly talented.
If he married Arnold,
super fucking funny. But yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
But Hemsworth has that extra thing that you don't really get in actors anymore these days. That sort of line you up in a Harrison Ford sort of territory.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, he's got like unbelievable charisma.
Yeah.
For somebody I want to hate for how beautiful
he's got that Hulk Hogan thing on the horizon where he's doing the Hulk Hogan.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like as a quality to know.
Yeah, he's got a certain Hulk Hogan.
On the horizon, he's going to take
he's
a turn.
Super muscular. Totally racist.
Totally racist.
There'll be a sex
he'll
tape.
Eat too much and fuck your wife.
A lot of gas will be involved. And then he's going to open a pasta restaurant. Why not?
Yeah.
He's got that like the biopic of Hogan on the horizon. Right. So I feel like that's interesting. But you saying that, I didn't even think of it until now. Like I know that Tarantino has that kind of like his movie kind of has that sort of like I guess it's not a cop movie, but it kind of feels sort of like that. But where are all the movies for adults that are like, you know, fucking cop action movies? There hasn't been a lot of big mainstream
ones. I know, that's
in a
it's
while.
Gone, the cop. Yeah. That used to be like, that was your thing.
Yeah.
Like, you got up.
It was
the
whole 80s.
You're like a movie star now, you get your fucking cop movie.
Yeah, yeah. You get to be a superstar cop.
Yeah.
I guess cops suck.
There is
like,
great
like, I think that everybody
cops
hates
the
worst.
So.
Granted, they did suck in the 80s too. But
right now they're
as, like,
really garbage.
Publicly accepted. Yeah, pretty bad.
So I guess
MO.
I can understand.
Well,
now more than ever, they need some good PR.
We need a, like, you know, not going to listen to his fucking captain, fucking playing by his own rules.
Yeah.
Playing clothes detective guy.
Not going to shoot a 4-year-old for inadvertently stealing a Barbie.
Yeah.
I guess let's say action movie. It doesn't have to be about cops, I guess. But
just make a cop
detective
movie. I know
movies.
What fiction and reality is.
Yeah.
I want a fucking cop movie.
Yeah. For Christ's
sakes. Cops have always been gross, but in the 80s on screen, at least they were Eddie Murphy.
Well, listen, I watched Metro recently, and I loved it. And I have been chasing the Metro high. I'm like, where's the next like 90s movie like that? Slam bam detective cop movie. And it's just nothing's.
There's none. Like,
I thought you were going to say slam bam detective man.
Slam bam detective man movie. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I've just seen too many of them. I'm running out.
Yeah, I want more, though.
Yeah.
yeah. So it's, you know, it's not a good movie, but boy, are they great in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll definitely, when that's a Netflix thing, I'll.
Yeah. I feel like you kind of mentioned that, like, going in, you kind of got what you were like, this will be fun.
I wanted to eat some popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I wanted to eat some popcorn, but I also wanted to pay $25 for it.
Yeah. Well, I know where you gotta go.
Yeah.
See Men in Black.
I feel like I came down hard on Chris Pratt. I really didn't mean to.
No, but I see the thing about
God.
And God.
Well, yeah.
Chris, does he listen to this show?
They both do.
Yeah. Cool.
Together.
Well, the thing about Chris Pratt is, like, with Guardians of the Galaxy, we were all like, oh shit, movie star now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was like Jurassic World 1. When it was announced, sounds like the right kind of movie for him. He just was a star role in this, and now he's going to go lead some other adventure movie. Didn't really feel right to me.
Well, no, because they didn't allow him to be charming or anything. They were like, hey, be a brooding hunk. But, and it's like, no, I like you because you used to be a fat guy like me.
Yeah, but also, like, his humor just didn't fit. I didn't feel like it was a right fit.
And then
he did another one. And
it was much worse.
I liked
and then
it.
There was,
but, but I just feel like he's getting bogged down in, like,
well, he's a lot of bad movies. Else. Los Pasajeros was not good either.
Yeah.
What was?
The Passengers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. I want him to go do something else.
That's a deep pull.
Yeah. Deep. See you next Wednesday.
Somebody will remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not. Yeah. What's other than playing Star-Lord, which he crushes. He's so good at.
Every time.
Like the movies, the other stuff he's putting out is not.
Not
making
doing it.
I liked him in that. Magnificent Seven remake. I thought he was.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
I forgot that happened.
I'm not even sure if I saw it.
You did.
I know. I did.
Yes. Yes. Because you and I were divided on Vincent D'Onofrio's performance.
Yes.
I thought he was fantastic. You thought he was silly as hell. And we're both
right.
Very good.
Speaking of detective cop movies. I watched one that isn't like the kind of movie we were talking about, but made for a good segue. Because I was like, where's all the detective movies? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I watched one. And I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it, but I will. Destroyer.
Oh, I want to see that.
With Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Directed by Karen Kusama, who did The Invitation previous.
Oh, that's a bad movie.
Which I hated. Yes.
Oh, The Invitation? Was that with... the guy who looks like
Logan
like
Marshall
Tom Hardy
Green.
Dressed up as James LeGros.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, and that movie
Logan
I did not
rather.
Like. Logan Marshall Green.
Logan Tron.
Yeah,
Marshall Green. I said it. So Nicole Kidman is in this, and it's a movie about she's an LAPD detective.
Yeah.
And when she was younger, she went undercover in this gang, and her partner. There was some tragedy involved with her and her partner. And then the leader of this gang has sort of reemerged, and she's got to kind of go back through all the people that were in this gang and figure out, like, what's going on? Why is he back? And let me tell you about Destroyer. This movie is fucking incredible, and then it sucks. Because I was reading reviews, and after I watched, like, just before I watched it, I kind of went and looked at, like, the average review, and it was like, oh, like, pretty middling. I thought this looked really good. And then I'm watching the movie, and it's like 2 hours. So, like, you know, an hour and 15, an hour and 20, an hour and a half. I'm like, this movie's fucking awesome. What is anyone talking about? This is, like, one of my favorite movies that I've seen in a while. And then it just fucking sucks all of a sudden. Like, 90% of this movie is just so tense and incredible, and she's really good in it, and the vibe is awesome, and she's just completely unchained. It's like, it's almost kind of like Rampart, with Woody Harrelson, where it's just like this person is on a mission and they're going to do anything they can, and it's, you know, they're going into the depths of some grimy shit.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And then all of a sudden, the movie is just like, you know what? I was a taut rope, and now I'm just going to fray everywhere. And it just, you're just like, you had it. Just do the movie you were doing. You don't need a little trick to the movie. You don't need a little, like there's a little, like, structural quirk to this movie that gets introduced, like, right at the end. And you're like, that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
You don't, that just, it doesn't add anything to the movie.
I'm not a fan of a structural quirk.
No, but especially for no reason.
Yeah.
The only reason that it exists is to be like, oh, like she, like there's a little like, oh, you, she's even worse because I thought there was a reason, you know, or whatever. So it's like, no, I honestly watch it because it's like for a really long time, incredible, but just know that you might be disappointed in the ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it gets very like melancholy, very like emotion, trying to be like super emotionally at the end, like it doesn't really earn it. It just kind of all of a sudden becomes super like, I don't know, like drippy emotional. I don't know. It's just hard to explain, but just all of a sudden at the end, it just, everything feels wrong for the last like 15 minutes. Yeah. It was a super bummer, but it's so much of a good movie up until that point. Like, you should see it, because it honestly, like, the whole time I'm thinking, oh wow, like this movie's incredible, amazing direction, she's incredible in it, everybody's great in it. Yeah, so just go into it knowing you might be disappointed, but you'll get 90% of an incredible movie.
Yeah, I like those odds.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Destroyer, Nicole Kidman. Yeah. LAPD cap movie.
Yeah.
What else?
What else indeed, Daniel? I started watching Shrill. I've seen, I think, 2.5 maybe episodes of that.
Yeah?
Yes. I'll tell you something about that show. It's fucking great.
It's so good. Oh, my God.
It is fucking great.
I don't know what that show is. Like, what's that show?
It's
AD Bryant from SNL.
Mm-hmm. And she, it's about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it's just about being a fat girl in today's society.
Yeah. Mm.
And it is fucking wonderful.
Yeah.
Right on.
Everybody so in good. It is phenomenal. I don't know the girl who plays her roommate, but I love her.
Yeah.
It's got Patty Harrison, who is literally my favorite person these days.
And when I saw that, that was like the first I'd seen of her, and I was like, who's this hilarious woman, like as like this bitchy like office lady?
I love when she writes the art, when she gets the article published, and she's like, you go, girl. Can I borrow $20?
Yeah.
Everybody, John Cameron Mitchell, is that his name?
Yeah.
He plays her boss. Oh my God, he is fucking great.
A notable director,
guy. Like, he does this really wonderful job of, like, being this guy who's, like, just a total dick.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, I've known that guy. He's a total dick. But I also, like, was friends with, like, I like that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he does. Where he's just like this, like his whole purpose in life is to be a dick.
Yeah.
But
it's
also,
like, rooted in like,
in this,
I was like a radical guy and now I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the character comes by it so honestly that you're like, oh, that's just who this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, normally I don't like somebody who is an artist and as a result, you know, takes the opportunity to be a fucking dick. But, like, you just get the feeling from this guy. And it's just a fucking character on a show, but there's so much. Like, I think he is fucking wonderful on the show.
Yeah.
And, man, AD Bryant, like,
so good.
She started off on Saturday Night Live, and I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. And then I grew to love her on Saturday Night Live. Mm. And now, from this, I'm just like, oh, my
She's
God.
She's just
I
so
just hope she makes things forever.
Delightful. And Luka Jones is amazing, too.
So fucking good, because damn it, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to say too much. It's one of those tiny little shows about a tiny little person's life kind of thing that's like, that's just so well told and just so fucking wonderful.
And some of the stuff it does later in the season that, Like, it really has these wonderfully emotional, like, moments. There's a scene later in the show where she goes to a pool party, and it's just like, why is it taking this long to have, like, a scene like this? Like, yeah. it's just it's so wonderful. Yeah. It's just so wonderful, yeah.
And it's a little heartbreaking, yeah. But, man.
Yeah, it's shrill. I loved it. And it's only like 6 or 7 or 8 episodes, and I was like, I want more.
Yeah, I actually stopped watching it, and I had some time to watch again, but I was like, but it was like later at night, and I'm like, no, I want to devote attention to this.
Yeah, it's really good. Shrill so, on Hulu. Yeah, check it out. Shit. What else?
I watched Always Be My Maybe.
I want to see that so bad.
With Ali Wong and Randall Park.
Yeah, is that Netflix?
Yeah. That's Netflix.
I want to watch that.
Oh, Netflix romantic comedy.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, yeah. Man, I got to watch that.
Like, I laughed a lot. The story is like, it's a little bit, you know, familiar.
Yeah.
But then isn't. It does a couple of things that I really like, that it kind of switches up the romantic comedy storyline where, I mean, it has its rhythms where it's going to do the thing where, like, they're apart because of this, and you know that the thing is coming that's going to make them do a dumb thing, and blah, blah, blah. But the stuff that people are, like, mad at each other for is unique in it, and they've done some role. It's not that they don't fall into, like, stupid traps about...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I don't know, putting labels on men and women and how their careers work and how, you know, either the male ego fragility, like, they really do a great job of not falling into those traps and without making it feel too like, oh, look what we're doing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have great chemistry, and they're two super duper fucking funny people. And
Randall Park can do no wrong. Everything I've seen him is, he's fucking fresh off the boat. He's so fucking great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's terrific. I laughed a lot through the whole thing, and there's refreshing choices in it it's still just as easy to watch as any, like, really nice good time romantic comedy, but it's better than those because it's really making a nice effort. And of course, I guess that the internet knows, of course, that Keanu Reeves is in this, and
he's
wonderful.
I want to see that.
good and good.
I can't wait to see it.
Nice.
It's one of those rare moments where there's a movie that Myers wants to see because it's a romantic comedy kind of thing, and I want to see because I love the stars.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
It's really worth it. It's a solid time. I'll just quickly tag something on to the end of it. Mm-hmm. I also watched Wine Country.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've heard very mixed things about
it. It's, that's because it's not a good movie, but I liked watching it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, here's five really funny people, and everything lands.
Funny together.
Yeah, the story is fucking nothing. Like, it is nothing. It's just like, they're like, hey, one of them must have had some vacation package, and they're like, someone brought a camera.
Yeah.
And like, let's make a movie while we're here
Adam
doing
Sandler
this thing.
Adam Sandler allowed to do it.
Yeah, because that's what it is. This is like grown-ups, but with the female cast, and also not a pile of dog shit like grown-ups, as they're all genuinely being quite funny in it. I mean, it's not very memorable,
but the ride is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, yeah, Polar and Rudolph, and, everyone's great in it. Rachel Dratch is great in it. It was nice to see Rachel Dratch in like a larger role. So.
Yeah, yeah, because she's gotten the fucking shaft since she left SNL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's fine. It's fine.
And good.
Yeah, I don't know. Really talented, nice, really funny, charismatic cast makes nothing movie not a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's your tagline.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's fucking good.
Yeah. It's really good. I used a lot of words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were right next to each other.
Yeah.
Very nice. But yeah, it is like a grown-ups, but not like some painful fucking exercise.
Yeah, nobody's like getting hit in the balls with dog shit.
No, no, no. dog shit.
I don't know if that. I don't know if that happens in a grown-up.
Wait, go on.
Movie.
What does that happen?
Sounds hilarious.
I want to see that movie.
Wait.
Were you watching Jackass?
Sorry,
again?
I was trying to come up with an example of something that was bad, and inadvertently, I made a great movie. Sorry, guys.
That's your tagline. Yeah. Put that on the poster.
I'll tag on to that super quick on the topic of very nice and good and good movies.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Stephen Merchant film Fighting With My Family.
Oh, God. Oh, I want to see that so bad.
And
is The Rock in that?
Yeah.
Dwayne?
Yes. Johnson?
Thank you for Nick differentiating Frost. Which Rock it was.
Yeah.
Not Gary The Rock Winowski.
Yeah, yeah. Or not a VHS copy of The Rock.
Oh, yeah, no. Was there a VHS copy of The Rock?
So that movie stars Florence Pugh and Nick Frost and a bunch of other people. And at first I turned this movie on and was not so sure. I didn't think it was all that funny. Like off the first, 15, 25 minutes, I thought, oh, this is okay, I guess, but I'm not really like loving this, but it really builds to like a nice solid three and a half star movie. And it's nice and emotional. I think it really is worth seeing, and Florence is unbelievably great in it. She deserves to be a huge, huge star, and I know she's in something else coming up she's in Midsommar, the new Ari Aster film. So, like, people are saying she's amazing in that, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's just, like, there's a lot of charismatic people in this movie, and the sort of wrestling stuff is really nice. It does this really nice thing where... She's kind of like the alternative wrestler, and there's all these other kind of like quote unquote bimbo-y wrestlers, and she's very like, oh, you guys are just models, whatever, I'm the real wrestler. And it really does this nice thing where it pivots away from that, and they all start to kind of like work together and support each other, and it has this really, really nice little like subplot about them like helping each other up and supporting each other, and it's just really, really nice, and it's a good movie. Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it. I wasn't crying at the end or whatever, but it is nice and emotional and a good little movie. Yeah. And we're worth seeing. Yeah. So Fighting With My Family is worth a look. Yeah.
I'll watch that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anything else before Film Roulette?
Yeah. I got a quick little TV roundup I can throw at
Let's
you.
Let's do it.
Finished Barry season 2.
Nice.
That's the fucking best show in the world. That.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know Barry was already in season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people have been raving about it.
Yeah, because season 2 was better than season 1, which I didn't think was possible, because season 1 ended
about
as perfectly as the show could end. And I was like, I don't even know if I want a second season. That was so good. So terrific. My God, that show is amazing and unpredictable. And
Now that it's all over, I'm going to just like fucking freight through it.
I can't wait to watch it over again. It's one I don't really do that with TV shows too much, but that I really want to watch it over again. It's so good and creative and really good. And similarly with a lot of hitman type action stuff going on, I've been watching Killing Eve.
Oh, I heard that's good, too.
I saw an episode of that.
Yeah, that's a very good show.
I need to watch that,
too.
Yeah,
it's a solid black comedy thriller thing going on there with really, really fucking solid performances. Weird things going down.
We started watching, and I was like, I don't know why, but I want to see Fleabag first. Like, I keep hearing so many, like, brilliant things about Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and I'm like... I feel like Fleabag is where I want to start on her career.
Right.
So I'm like, I think I'll do that first. And then
right.
Yeah.
Very different properties.
Yeah. I feel like I keep hearing about Killing Eve, like, it's one of those shows that when people are bringing it up, they're like, this is kind of like, people seem to be having this under the radar, but like, it shouldn't be. People should be watching the show.
Yeah.
Like, it keeps being sold as
it's
that,
really
like,
easy to just get into. It's really comfortable. It's got a fucking fantastic pace. It's a solid TV show.
I'm going to check it out.
Really
Sandra
good. Oh, yeah. And the girl, what's her name? Who plays Villanelle, the assassin. I don't know her name. She is fantastic. Like, really, really good. Like,
yeah.
A remarkable performance. Jodie Comer. Comer? I don't know.
Is that there's a scene where she goes to a birthday party?
Yeah.
Oh man, she is fucking great.
Yes.
And I've only seen one episode.
Yeah.
But I watched it a while ago, and now I've just put together that that's the same show.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
She's scary.
Yeah, she's really something. It's a quite a performance.
Nice.
Yeah.
Killing Eve.
Yeah. Good times. And I've been watching Chernobyl.
Oh yeah, I watched all of Chernobyl. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm halfway through. Oh yeah. My god,
it's a good show.
That is
real good.
A dark.
So you got
experience.
You saw episode 3.
I'm in episode 3.
Okay.
Don't tell me no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No, just episode 3 is when it starts to get melty. It's like, oh god.
Like,
yeah.
Like the third act of RoboCop.
Yeah. It's just really like, oh boy. Dark.
It's really,
yeah,
really good. The pace, the performances, the direction.
Yeah, we liked it a lot.
Really something.
Totally.
Yeah.
That is scary shit. Especially the first
utterly
two
terrifying
episodes is scary as fuck.
Yeah.
I heard it's a lot of people doing really good Russian accents.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, real quick. Sorry. Maybe you saw this. I saw Three Identical Strangers.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good watch.
I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked it because it's really interesting.
It is. It's a crazy story.
Totally crazy.
I took some issues with... I feel like I saw it so long ago now, I can't even remember what my problems were with it. Yeah. There was some stuff where I was kind of like, I don't know about how they made this movie. There was some... something about the way it was made, or there was a reveal or something where I was like, you can't fucking, there's something about the way that it was made, like the ethics of the making of the movie. I was like, hey, fuck off. But I can't remember what it was.
Well, they have some people like experience stuff in real time,
yeah,
you know, for the, while they're making the documentary. But I mean, it's stuff they're looking, I don't know. I nothing really turned me off on it.
Yeah.
It's an insane story.
It's a wild story.
If you don't know what the story is, it's this a guy was adopted and he goes to college, and when he gets there, everyone's like knows him and doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Then he meets his roommate in his dorm, and he's like, are you adopted by any chance? He's like, yep, and same birthday. He's like, because last year you were here and my roommate too, but not you. And finds out he has a twin brother,
yeah,
and they were separated at birth. And then there's a big news story about it. And when the news story is out on TV, there's this guy sitting at home. He's like, hey, those two guys look like me. And there's a third. And these triplets were fucking separated. And then they get all together. They were all over fucking, you know, Donahue and stuff. They were all over TV and newspaper ads. It was a big fucking thing. But then it turns out there's a really huge dark side to all of this, where this adoption agency had intentionally split up a bunch of twins, and put them in different class systems. One was in a wealthy family, one in a blue collar family, and one in a poor family. And then would go in and were like, oh, it's part of the adoption process, where they had someone go in and interview the kid every year and to see nature versus nurture. Basically, they turned these people into experiments and did it with like a bunch of different sets of twins. Anyway, and then all that gets revealed, and they're trying to find all that stuff out. And it's fairly sad, and there's some tragic stuff that goes down.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it.
It's really well told, and like it's really easy to get, like, I was like engrossed the whole time for sure. Like, it's, you should watch it.
There's like this nurse they interview. She was like part of the
yeah. the experiments.
The team. And it's just, you know, she wasn't a scientist or a doctor or a psychologist or anything like that. She was like, like the secretary or something, but was definitely aware of what was going on. But she's like...
She's very like Frank, right?
Like, yes, and she's very like weirdly flirty about stuff. Like, and she's like this like horny nurse or something. I don't know what she the way she talks about a few people and stuff like that, or some of the doctors are like, yes, sexy he was, and like flares the eyes wide, like what? What do you think we're here talking about? Anyway,
and why are you? Why did you make her sound like Yoda? Sexy he was, yes.
Anyway, I just found her really bizarre in the middle of this movie.
Yeah.
Now I want to see it just for her.
Yeah, you should.
Sexy he was.
Anyway, it was an interesting story.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, that's all I got, all that stuff.
Sweet.
Hmm?
I keep thinking of Yoda now.
I know. I'm a big fan of horny Yoda.
Well, let's get into film roulette then.
Yep.
Film roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something cool. This week it was Godzilla King of the Monsters, and the low roller has to see something terrible. This time it was The Test. That's what it was, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
And the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. We will talk about the album in a bit, but first, directed by Michael Dougherty, Long Live the King, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. The new story follows the heroic efforts of the Cryptozoological Agency Monarch as its members face off against a battery of god-sized monsters. When these ancient super species, thought to be myths, rise again, they all vie for supremacy, leaving humanity's very existence hanging in the balance. Kyle Chandler, Vera Farmiga, Millie Bobby Brown, Ken Watanabe, Sally Hawkins, tons of
big cast.
People.
Thomas Middleditch. Tommy Middledue.
Michael Dougherty, the director of Trick or Treat and Krampus previously.
Yep. Michael Dougherty, the director of A Good Movie.
And a watchable movie.
Yeah, debatable.
It's fine. It's just not great. I think Krampus really suffers from how long we got to spend with Trick or Treat, because it like was made, took like 3 years to come out, finally came out, was amazing, and then we had like 10 years to be like, well, this is a fucking incredible movie. And then like Krampus came out and it's like, hey, this is a mess with some people that are funny and some fun monster effects and stuff, but not good.
Yeah.
And so, like it really, really suffers. But it's
stuff,
fine.
The
it's
good
fun.
Stuff is incidental in that movie.
I don't hate it.
All that said, speaking of Michael Dougherty movies that aren't very good but have some good stuff in them, let's talk about Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Let's do it. How do you want to get into it?
It's great.
I don't really understand, like, that. So, the last Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. People were pretty on the fence about it, but if you go look, it was like pretty well reviewed in like the 70 to 75 or 80%, like in terms of critics overall. Like it got pretty good, and I really liked it. And I thought that it was going for some really interesting things in that kind of like blockbuster movie that were interesting to see.
I think Gareth Edwards was trying to go for something, was trying to make a Gareth Edwards movie with it, which is why. And I think what a lot of people's problems with the first Godzilla was that there's not enough monster stuff in it. And then in this movie, they were like,
it's just like,
well, what if everyone was a monster all the time?
Yeah. And then it came out and people were like, boo. And I was like, what? It's fun.
Listen, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
But it is so fun.
Yeah. 100%.
It is like from start to finish, a lot of fun. The performances are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I always thought Kyle Chandler was great.
Turns out he's
terrible.
Not that good. There's a lot of the like, they're fighting, so we're going to look at them and... What's going on out there?
Here, go, God, the monsters are fighting. Let's just spend the next 45 minutes looking at them through a fucking 8-mile cloud of dust.
Yeah. That, honestly, the thing about this movie is, like, can we have them fight somewhere that's not, you know, like, in the dark, dusty...
Can we fucking have them fight somewhere where I can actually feel the stakes?
Yeah.
Because if you have two... It's like fucking watching two... monsters fight in the middle of Pig Pen from the Peanuts. It's just that in the middle there's two monsters and then just fucking a big cloud of dust around them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where we are. Sure, we're in Boston or whatever, but first of all, destroy Boston. I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't even see if we're on the ground or not.
Yeah.
Like, we may be doing this in the air. One thing I will say is, and I don't know if this was intentional, but it really looked like it was to me, the CGI is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's great in that they make the monsters kind of look rubbery.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Like the skin, the texture.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they move, you know, like all their movements are fully articulated because it's made by computers. The texture of their skin almost looks a little rubbery, or like a little costumey.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And it really adds. I feel like it really lends to the to feeling a little bit like a throwback to the to the old movies.
I know what you mean.
And I enjoyed that, but just everything else about it, like the dialogue is god awful.
Yeah.
At times, it feels like somebody gave, you know, $500 million to a Mockbuster script.
Yeah. which honestly is like, okay, for what this movie is. Like, this is a super brawl. It is a king of the monsters. It is,
problem,
you know,
is,
destroy all monsters. Fucking, there's, everyone's here and they're battling it out. And it's dumb.
But the problem is, they accidentally, between Godzilla and Godzilla King of the Monsters, they accidentally made Kong Skull Island, which is
fucking amazing.
Great.
It's so good.
I love it
so
much. So
entertaining, so much fun, and so what this kind of movie is supposed to be, because it's silly and fun and hilarious, and then Michael Ortiz gets ripped apart by pterodactyls.
Yeah.
And that's unsettling.
And those spiders with the fucking bamboo shit. Yeah. That scared I was like, go, oh, shit!
Yeah.
In theaters.
It's 100% fun all the time.
Yep.
I gotta rewatch that.
So the fact that this movie is just kind of fun sometimes, and then kind of
dumb other times,
and then
you
just hate all the people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Especially with the idea that, like, at the end of this movie, they kind of like reference that they're, you know, this is in kind of an ongoing world of, you know, there was the King Kong movie, and now there's this, and there's going to ultimately be, we're going to converge at some point.
Well, in the next movie, the next movie is Kong versus Godzilla.
Which, like,
but was, now I haven't seen this, but isn't that going to feel sort of small if Godzilla just fought Ghidorah and Rodan and
Mothra and like Crabman and Mammoth Boy?
Well, maybe they'll find a way to bring some other monsters in.
Or maybe they'll just settle the fuck down and make a fun movie again.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they need to do. All they need to do is course correct and just make an actual fun monster.
Sure, because no one's going to be like...
They do that in the world of Marvel, right? Like, one movie could be like the huge end of the world, and then Ant-Man could be like Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it's not as big.
That's
of
a thing.
Yeah. So maybe they could pull it off. They could pull it off.
They're not doing a good job of creating a cinematic universe.
No.
Mm.
Because the movies, even though they feature a lot of the same stuff, feel disjointed.
But you also don't want them to lean too hard into that, because then you're like...
Don't tell me what I want.
Because then you're just like, don't build a whole universe, because it's so hard to do. Like, I'm okay with the movies just being kind of tangentially, like, and then we'll get there.
I don't know. I want to see the... like, this is because, like, the stakes are huge.
Yeah.
Like, we have these fucking massive ass monsters, titans, living on our Earth, and now they've come back. Like, I want to see the continued, consequence of that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see it over time, as opposed to a movie like this, which is just a big smoky mess.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the stakes build, and like, oh my God, like these monsters are starting to wake up and overtake the Earth. How many of them are there? At the beginning of this movie, we know there's 100 million of them all over the fucking, like all over the place. Like I want this to unfold.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It just kind of goes like, bleh, monsters.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm interested in what.
But watch it, though.
I'm going to watch it.
In how it plays like at home because of the way that this movie looks. And it's so like snowy and blurry and, you know. Like it, like on the big screen, it's cool, but I'm wondering, like, is it gonna feel okay? Like, is it gonna be hard to tell, or is it gonna be better at home, more
like
crisp? Or
maybe it'll be better because you're focusing on a smaller square as opposed to a square that's all around you, and you're like, ah,
yeah,
it's everywhere.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters. To everyone that gave it like. Totally garbage reviews. I get it, but like, what do you want?
Yeah, relax. There's some fun stuff in there.
It's fun.
Mothra was cool as hell.
Hell yeah. Speaking of cool as hell, Jeremy Saville.
Yeah, speaking of monsters,
this guy
named Jeremy Saville
directed a movie,
directed it, starred in it.
The Test from 2012. You may know him from right now, the movie Loquisha.
You may know him from having watched the trailer for Loquisha and then said to yourself, I will never watch this movie.
I'm astounded that movie exists.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Like
it really stinks of opportunistic, like oh well maybe I'm making like. You know, social commentary or something. But no, I think you're just being opportunistic. Like, I think you're just being a sensationalist.
It's a white man pretending to be a black woman on the radio.
Yeah.
And then it caps off its little trailer with a suicide joke.
Yeah.
I like that his producer is a black guy who's like, who basically all his lines are like, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, don't worry.
I'm okay with this.
There
so,
is
so
nothing wrong.
You be.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking. Anyway, let's talk about The Test.
Yeah. A guy puts his unwitting bride-to-be through a series of increasingly bizarre stress tests to see if she's worthy of marriage, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So he plays this guy named Nathan. And he's going to get married, and he's so happy, and he goes out and drinks with his buddies who are all like, I can't believe you get married, bro.
Oh, what the fuck?
How can you even, you know, fucking, how do you know that she's really good? How do you know? How can you don't want to be a weekend dad after you get a divorce and stuff like that? He's like, yeah, I guess you're right. And he's got one buddy who's got like a really unpleasant goatee and a tan. And
you say that like there's a pleasant goatee.
Yeah. you'll see. You should watch this movie. Yes, you should. It's because it's really bad and really poorly made and horribly shot. This guy sucks. Jeremy Saville, terrible. Talentless. Person
taking a hard line on this.
He's like, oh, gee whiz, I guess. And they're like, yeah, you know, like a car, you know, they put a car through all kinds of stress tests where they sell it to the public. Wouldn't you obviously do that to the person you're going to marry?
No.
He's like, yeah, right.
You're
I
right.
Should.
Women are exactly like cars.
Yeah. So he does start doing all, he like hires an actor to hit on her in a restaurant.
Oh, my God.
And
wasn't
like,
this a David Schwimmer, Jason Lee movie?
well, this goes. Like you're watching this man do this to this woman, and he does one horrible thing after another, and each time he does one of them and she passes the test or whatever, it's like then it's him and his buddies doing some man activity like playing pool and talking about it, clickety clack, and it's like poorly shot. And then it's like now we're shooting hoops somewhere talking about it. Like,
I hate it when guys write activity, like when male writers write guy activities and don't know what guys do
or what people are.
Yeah,
yeah.
What do guys do? I don't know. What is this deodorant commercial? What are they doing there? Oh, they play pool.
Yeah. and then I guess he ran out of ideas. Like, I did pool. I did basketball. Now me and the other guy will sit on swings. But because he's a funny guy, he's sitting in like a kid's swing that has like a latch over the top. So he's inside that.
because that's funny. What? He's a grown man.
Yeah. No, and the juxtaposition of that is delicious.
So right now he does like things that you're assuming are going to happen in this movie, like he hires a handsome actor to hit on her mm-hmm. and see if she'll go for it.
Yeah, how far does how
well? Let me
bad
tell you.
Does this
let
get?
Me tell you. Then he pretends to get fired from his job to see if she'll stay with him, even if he's broke. But then his friend's like, "Yeah, so what? She's got money, though." So then his friend, who has got some frat buddy who is her boss or something like that,
oh god,
has her fired. But it just as a fake fired to see if like she'll stay with him now that they both don't have jobs. And also his losing his job is that he might go to jail for insider trading. Just to
will
see
you
she'll...
stay with me if I'm in jail?
Yes. Then so he gives the jobs back. They get the jobs back. And he's like, that worked out pretty good. But then he's like, but what if I was sick? Would you stay with me if I was sick?
Oh
so
my
then
god.
he pretends to have some kind of illness. And but then the doctor buddy won't go through with it for more than a day. So then he pretends he's in a coma.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then he comes out of the coma but has some kind of, like, mental disorder for a while.
What?
A month. Yeah. And then his version, obviously, of a mental disorder is he's in the park, like, running around in circles with his arms like an airplane and it falls down a lot.
Oh my god.
Yes.
God,
yes.
This is I've never seen a movie with this guy or anything. I've only heard two of his movies described.
Yeah.
And I hate him.
Yes. He is horrible.
I hate him as a person.
Yes, extremely bad and stupid.
I hate him for thinking this up.
Yes.
And I hate that from what I've seen from clips from LaQuisha and just the trailer for this that like it's all delivered with that like I'm a nice dude
yes.
comedy
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's the worst part about it is that he thinks he's John Q. Everyman.
Yeah, no, but he's like, and I'm watching him like, you, like this is psychotic, fucked up shit
yeah.
to do. And it's played for laughs that are don't work because he's not funny to begin with, but also yeah. this stuff is too, like it's too cruel.
Yeah.
You cannot have fun watching it. despite the questionable nature of it or the poor craftsmanship of
yeah.
the delivery, like this is all too, like this is not, none of this is a good idea,
yeah
guy. And then finally they're gonna get married because she passed all the tests, so she's good enough for him, you know, because he's the bar. But she finds out about the tests, calls off the marriage, and he's like, oh, what the what? Oh.
To be fair, though, she sounds like a fucking idiot. Because she's like, all of this shit is suddenly happening
yeah
all at once,
yeah.
And this idiot
and I'm okay,
you,
yeah.
Like this idiot thinks like because it sounds like everything is so poorly done.
So
I hate this.
She leaves him and then she starts dating the actor that was hired to hit on her. And calls Nathan up to rub it in his face. She's like, "Thanks for introducing me to Randall or whatever." And so he finds out where they're having dinner. Like she's out of her date and he goes out and he's outside of that restaurant out in the street trying to get run over by a car. So she'll come out there.
And you're like,
oh my
please,
God.
Please God. And so she comes, he's lying in the street like, I just want to get run over.
Oh, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
So much.
And then he just cries a bunch in front of her. And that's our scene.
Yeah.
Our
we've
famous
seen that.
Scene.
Love makes you crazy.
And she's
you,
like, I still love you. And that's it. She still loves him. So they kiss a bunch in the street and then they get married. The fucking end.
And then he continues to torture her
yeah,
for the
yeah,
rest of
yeah.
her life.
Like,
she realized she made a huge mistake.
This is not an okay person. All
no.
of this is so bad. He did fucked up things.
Yeah.
He had her fired.
Yeah.
He pretended to be in a coma.
Oh my god. I love that.
Oh well, love makes you do
crazy
things.
Yeah. Like he sat around in their home and he pretended to have like he had no like amnesia or something too, like he doesn't know who he is. So he just sat there like a vegetable where she made him meals and stuff like that
oh
and
my
took
god.
Care of him for like weeks.
If you think
just,
of the reality of that,
yeah.
they're in that house and he's doing this
yes.
nonstop 24 hours a day
weeks.
For weeks. And she's like, Oh, you're faking? Yeah. You're crazy.
You sure cried a lot in the street, so I guess I should take you back.
I think my favorite part is that the cherry on the top is when he goes to get her back, instead of like any kind of like, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to deal with this emotionally shit, the crazy shit I did. He's like, ah, cries in the street and lays in the street and tries to get hit by a car because like that's all he can think of is like, I just have to make her worry about me. Like he didn't learn anything.
No, no. It would be so great if the end of that movie was he was lying in the street like, I just want to get hit by a car. And she comes out and she's like, okay, I still love you. And then he gets hit by a car and dies.
And it's like in Toxic Avenger when the kid gets run over by a car. It's like really gruesome.
Yes, yes.
That ruined my childhood. That movie ruined my childhood.
And or the end of the movie is she gets in a car and does
that. Yeah, she runs him over.
That would be pretty good, actually.
There is a scene where after the marriage is called off, where it has a scene with this guy and his dad is yelling at him for what he's done.
You fucking idiot.
It is a uncomfortably bad comedic scene where it's supposed to, like, they wanted some kind of, like, you know, like an Albert Brooks or Elliot Gould dad kind of scene where the dad tells off the kid or something.
Let's do something that
got,
is
like,
very hard to do.
He's community actor.
He's just a guy.
Who's just like, he really yells a lot, and then he stops yelling, and he gets really loud again. It's 3 minutes of just, holy fuck, it is a remarkably bad scene.
I am conflicted because I kind of want to. I kind of want to witness this.
I think you should, and I'm I kind of want to see Lakeisha just to know, because I mean, this guy is a pedal to the metal bad filmmaker, like really swinging hard at all this stuff. And I'm such a fan of completely misguided enthusiasm.
But yeah, this sounds hateful.
Yeah, because he's a piece of shit. Obviously, he is. He's clearly all the things that are wrong with.
Yeah.
The world. Jeremy Seville, is that what his name is? I already forgot. Where are you here? Jeremy Seville. Yeah,
you
fucking suck. Oh my god. Both of these movies are on Amazon Prime.
Oh, wonderful.
Loquisha is?
Yes.
How was that anywhere?
That
How did a group of people sit down and go, yeah, this will be great. I can't foresee any problems with this.
That makes me hate Amazon Prime.
I know. I'm a little like weirded out that they're like, they'll buy into his movies. Yeah. Didn't we all learn from Soul Man?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to break your stride.
Good news, Dan. Nobody gonna.
Yeah.
We got a Punishment album to talk about here. Called I Don't Speak the Language by Matthew Wilder. Famous for the song. Track one, Break My Stride.
Yeah.
3 even minutes of
also,
some catchy ass shit.
less famous but notable for writing, co-writing the music for Mulan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I noticed that on Spotify.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Some great songs in Mulan, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you picked this. And when you started your sentence of why, I was like, is Matthew Wilder about to land on us? Because you and I over the years have had many times enjoying Breaking My Stride.
Yeah,
or singing it hammered in a bar.
One of my favorite songs of all time.
Super duper good.
My stride.
And I don't know if anything.
Never gonna get like you.
This has to be the most one-hit wonder sounding one-hit wonder.
Because
I legit love this song. But at no point ever in my entire life have I been like, I would like
what
to hear more.
What else is going on here?
I know this is it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds like a one-hit wonder.
This song might as well be called This Is It. This is the one.
Yeah.
And this album is like, it's not like an artist expressing themselves or something. It's a guy who is like taking every possible stab at the radio.
Yeah.
Like, just like, how about one of these? How about one of those? I got a Billy Joel type song here. I got a Prince song.
I feel like the Prince thing permeates the album.
Yeah.
It's very like, okay, the Break My Stride has like a reggae kind of thing,
yeah,
a thing going on, and some of the other songs do too. But yeah, it's very like every song is its own little thing, and
yeah,
and but they all have the same sound,
yeah,
production wise. But yeah, it's like
it's all just like
what
this,
else can I do that people yeah, like?
How, it's like an audition for how can I write for other artists?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it absolutely sounds like. I mean, Toto had a couple of hits, but yeah, they were like a they were session guys.
You're about yeah, to get in my bad books.
Oh, you won't hear a bad word about Toto from yeah, me. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, there were a bunch of session
yeah,
guys
session
who
dudes,
did it right.
Yeah.
This sounds like a guy, like a songwriter guy who tried to sell these songs to other people, and the other people were like, eh, these aren't very good. And he was like, yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I like this album.
I
well, I like it up to...
I really like three songs on this album, yeah, and I find the rest of it is very, like,
the first three tracks,
yeah,
I'm pretty down with. I Love Above the Ground Floor, which is a sort of Billy Joel-y song. Not great, but...
Billy Joel-y?
Yeah.
Listen,
kind of get into it. World of the Rich and Famous is totally a Prince thing, and then it all just
I
falls
like
apart.
World of Rich and Famous a lot, and yeah, I like The Kid's American a lot.
I love The Kid's
and
American.
I like Break My Stride.
Kid's
a lot.
American,
he's good looking because
right,
he's American. Also, maybe he's a car.
Yeah,
I don't really.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what the metaphor
I,
is.
When I before I listened to it, I was perplexed by the title.
Yeah,
I was like, is it about an American that belongs to a kid?
Yeah.
This is The Kid's American. Oh, no, that kid is American.
Yeah, yeah.
So I also listened to his other
the
album.
Hood. He's American.
Yeah,
that is look, dick.
Check
look,
it out.
Look at his American dick.
That is one American dick.
The Kid's American.
Look at that thing.
It's his American. Good Lord.
Don't worry. He's 18. He's not a real kid. Look at his dick.
I listened to the other album that he put out after this, Bouncing Off the Walls.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, listen, I was
damn it,
fully in the pocket for this type of pop.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I really like three songs on this album.
Yeah.
And I want to hear, like, is there maybe two
yeah,
or three
yeah,
more on the other album?
Yeah.
There's, like, one or two that are okay.
Uh-huh.
But there's some questionable shit permeating throughout his records. Like, I Don't Speak the Language is pretty regrettable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he has songs on the other one. It's like Love of an Amazon, and he has one called Fortune Cookie, and he has one called Scandal that's about, like, a woman who sleeps around. And it's kind of like a lot of this stuff is like,
like,
hey, buddy, what's going
yeah,
on?
I Don't Speak the Language is like, I haven't read the lyrics, and I've only listened to it twice, but... He's like a banker who quits his job and goes to a foreign country
yeah,
and just starts sleeping with someone who doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
And he doesn't speak their language.
And
but
he's
like
wow,
you know,
I know the
it,
language of love.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And there's a line in that that I for four or five listens thought he said, make me a sandwich and I cease to care. But it's make me a savage and I cease to care. But for the first couple times I was like,
well, I don't
what?
Know if that's okay either.
Yeah, yeah, no, neither are good. But yeah, yeah, I was like, what?
No, the sandwich thing makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, yeah, he's got some regrettable stuff, but even Break My Stride, what a the rowboat to China.
Yeah, yeah, because he had to get his laundry clean.
Yeah.
That's oh, not cool.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he says it so cutely.
Yeah, it's so catchy.
Rowboat to China.
Rowboat to China.
Yeah, between these two albums, you get like five or six songs where you're like, pretty catchy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I'm feeling cocky.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much I like.
Oh!
I was surprised at how much I like Kids American. Kids
yeah,
American is
yeah,
catchy as
I'm
hell.
I'm gonna listen to that song again.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's going on some kind of playlist.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to listen to American Dick again. He had an American dick.
Oh,
Matthew Wilder.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Got to keep on moving through the podcast to the Punishment album.
That yeah, little guitar, that little.
Yeah.
That is legitimately great.
Yeah. What are we getting here, Greg?
Well, so I was looking at new releases,
mm-hmm,
like current music. What's going on?
Yep.
I did see that there was a new Santana album.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
And,
no.
Yeah. Now, I like old Santana, like the first three records.
Oye, ¿cómo va?
That's a good time. Yeah, absolutely. Black Magic Woman.
Absolutely.
Praxis. You know,
yeah,
I was really like, you know, definitely in my, when I owned more than one bong period
yeah,
of my
I
life.
Was about, I was
super
about
into
to say,
some Santana albums.
Yeah, when I smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Santana
pretty good.
Album.
They're great. They're really fun, yeah, you know. And then, of course, the big
big comeback for Santana was with that Smooth song. Which
oh, I'll forget just about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, what song? Smooth. Oh, you're talking about Smooth?
Smooth, yeah.
Smooth.
Like the ocean.
Like the ocean. Under the moon.
I like you guys doing it.
And I was like, new Santana album. It's not going to suck like I wanted to without Rob Thomas in there. But then I was like, hey, Rob Thomas released a new album.
No. Maybe if you listen to both at the same time.
I will do that.
Rob Thomas has a new album called Chiptooth Smile.
Ooh, oh. I fucking hate that.
Yeah. Everything about this is wrong.
And it's supposed to... draw on Rob's 1980s influences,
Chiptooth Smile,
but also
go,
the
Casey.
Familiar rock pop hits he's had.
Oh, fuck you!
The cover.
Fuck you for trying to have a little Springsteen wink.
Yeah, I know. And also, he said about this album, Rob Thomas is like, this one's really for the fans. It's not like trying to draw in a new audience. This one's for the people who really care.
These are the people that are stuck through.
So you guys.
I wouldn't say cash in, but I'm cashing in on whatever appeal I have.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Let's make a real forget about it.
Come on, guys. I'm making an album all forget about it.
Listen, I like... Well, that thing, your statement where you said this is for his fans, but particularly, quote, not to necessarily draw in those who had not previously heard my music. Fuck you. So nobody.
Yeah, because what is this like? This is the real fucking esoteric Rob Thomas, because his other music was not in any way just a bunch of palatable radio bullcrap.
Just garbage.
Yeah.
One.
Lead single was considered similar in sound to Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, so, really? Was it? Was it?
from that cover, I didn't know. Mm. Fuck.
Yeah, fuck this nonsense.
Rob Thomas, oh, God.
Ooh, yeah. So
well,
please
great.
Have a great time.
I won't.
I'm going to try not to listen to this one in my car, lest I feel the need to crash it into the building.
That'd be very smooth.
Mm-hmm. This car drives very smooth. I sound like Yakov Smirnoff, right?
Smooth car drive you.
Soviet Russia.
Smooth car drive you. Yeah, I was going to try and say forget about it, but I'm terrible at it. Mm-hmm. Well, we got an album.
Yeah,
to listen to, and we're going to roll for a movie.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's coming out.
Yeah.
You got to see Spider-Man.
Yeah, under the moon.
Forget about it.
You guys ever see that Transformers movie, Dark of the Moon?
Shut it down. It's no coming back. Okay, so there's that, and then we have a movie called
Domino. The new Brian De Palma.
Yeah. It's apparently
The reviews are remarkably bad.
Yeah.
Even for a late period De Palma.
Yeah.
What's the last good De Palma?
Passion is hilarious. Have you guys seen Passion?
No.
Fucking watch
I remember you
Passion.
Talking about it on the show.
It
though.
Is delightful.
Uh-huh.
All right. I don't know if I would necessarily call it like good, but it is like him leaning into all the ridiculous shit he does in a really cheesy, overbaked way. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Is there before that, was there anything better than Raising Kane?
Yeah. Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind that movie.
Yeah, well, it's got that one long uninterrupted shot.
It's a great movie that doesn't really have an ending.
Well, that's like De Palma, when he's clicking, you know, he's got like, he'll usually have some sort of event filmmaking thing he'll do that ties the whole, and he'll wrap the movie around it. Or he's like a wonderful purveyor of sleaze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's got it's two people from Games of Thrones.
Yeah.
Games of Thrones.
Games of Thrones.
You, many games, but only one throne.
Hey, children, have you watched the latest Games of Thrones? We're skateboarding.
Yeah, Jamie Lannister is the lead in this.
Yeah. So we'll see if this is entertaining or just garbage.
Yeah. Or entertaining
or both.
Garbage.
Or entertaining garbage. Mm-hmm. All right. Domino versus Spider-Man.
That you rolling, Dan?
One.
Oh, wonderful.
Dan rolled a sweet one. I rolled a four.
Mm. What do I press?
Spider-Man.
Three.
Fucking A, man. I was going to be pissed off if I wasn't seeing Spider-Man.
Guess I'm seeing... My name is Domino.
There's no way the Spider-Man movie is going to be anything less than goddamn amazing.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
There's no like way that today. Domino is going to be anything less than a movie.
Okay. Look at my, look at my new Spider-Man keychain I got for my keys.
Fancy.
That is fucking
I know.
Great.
It's very good, right?
Where'd you get that from?
From Amazon.
From Spider-Man.
Yeah. From a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
That's very good. Yeah.
Whew. Well, next week we will talk about Domino. Next episode, talk about Domino, talk about Spider-Man. In the meantime, you can find us online at SYNWPC on Facebook and Twitter. You can email us at info@modernsuperior.com, and you can tell all your friends about us in real life.
Yeah.
And rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we will see you next Wednesday. Yeah. Goodbye, Internet.
Yeah.
Give me a hot big wheel.
I don't get a gobble.
I like how sometimes it sounds like a New Orleans lawyer or something.
Yeah, you wanna. Let's forget about it. You wanna this all happen under the moon?
I object.
This was systems you had to order.
Don't ever. No, just keep going.
Do a new podcast. It's just that.
No, guy. You just. This podcast from now on. You.
That's my whole thing.
All reviews.
What's Sophie's choice today?
Did I like this movie?
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Yeah, that's my new rating system. It's like thumbs up or thumbs down. Keep it real.
Oh, let's forget about it.
Smooth.
This movie was smooth. This movie was on the mule. This movie.
I can't stop.
Forget about it.
I can't press stop. It's just too good.
'Nobody gonna break my stride.
Nobody gonna tell me down.
Oh no.
I got to keep on moving.
Never met another girl like you.
Look at my mustache.
Have to say,
oh!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.